Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. I appreciate you guys being here. I was sick last week, and so we had to take a week off of the show, and I'll tell you what, it was terrible, but I am back. I do apologize for my voice if it goes out. It is what it is. But so we're going to talk about how to maximize your off-season today. And principle number one is start with the lowest hanging fruit. So you want to look at your results from the open and or the quarterfinals. This quarterfinal was great because the programming prioritized distinct attributes in each test, whereas in the past it hasn't been as clear what the exact limiter is. It was really clear in this quarterfinal, and that was one of the reasons that I absolutely love the programming from this quarterfinal. There was good separation in each test too, so it wasn't about your execution so much as it was about, you know, what limited you on that test. And so that makes this quarterfinal a really good way to understand what your strengths and weaknesses are going into the offseason. So there's two scenarios. One is your scores are pretty balanced. And if that's the case, then it's time to get strong. I'm going to prioritize strength in the offseason. Second scenario is you have one score that was significantly lower than the rest. And if that's the case, you want to find your lowest score. If it was 2, then it's time to get conditioned. If 2 was significantly lower than your other scores, I have a couple of athletes who fall into that category, then it's time to get conditioned. Your offseason is going to be prioritizing conditioning. And if it was 1, 3, or 4, then it's time to get strong. And of course, there's more nuance to it than that. There's really no limit to the nuance and the individualization that can go into programming. But I'm trying to basically provide a general framework that points you in the right direction for your offseason. So for most people, what that means is who don't fit into that category of their score on workout 2 was significantly lower than their scores in workouts 1, 3, and 4. Then you want to prioritize strength. And how should you do that? Well, you want to do at least the minimum effective training dose for strength, which is 2-3-1 squat, bench, deadlift, weekly training frequency, 3-6 working sets of 1-5 reps per lift, and use loads above 80% of 1RM at an RPE of 7.5 to 9.5. That is a working set. And then you're going to want to do, for your accessory work, 6 to 20 sets per muscle group per week, 5 to 30 reps per set, 2 to 8 seconds per rep, which just means you're going to do some kind of tempo, some kind of controlled eccentric, and then within proximity of failure, 0 to 2 reps in reserve. And to accompany that, you're going to do your maximum compatible dose of conditioning. So the dose of conditioning that doesn't slow down your meaningful strength gains at all. And for that, I really like low intensity conditioning. And for low intensity conditioning, you want to keep those sessions to 45 minutes or less. And you're going to do that anywhere from 3-6 times per week, depending on your non-exercise activity. So how many steps you take per day. If you're really, really high on your steps, you know, 10 to 15,000 steps per day, then your low intensity conditioning is going to be on the less frequent side. But if you're below, you know, 8,000 steps per day, then it's probably going to be towards the higher side. You'll be able to do more low intensity conditioning and still stay in a glycogen stocked state and in an energy surplus. Bias machines with that, that's going to just take all the eccentric loading out. It's going to make the contractions concentric based, easier to make sustainable. And you also want to train strength fed and fresh. And the more advanced you get, the more you want to get accurate with your doses of conditioning, whether that's low intensity conditioning sessions and steps per day. If you incorporate high intensity conditioning as well, you want to get accurate with that the more advanced you get. Okay, so that's how to get strong. For those who in workout 2, they were, you know, maybe significantly worse in workout 2 than in their other scores. This is how those individuals want to train. This is, again, a general framework. You want to spend as much time as possible in heart rate zones 1 and 2. If you're limited on time, then you'll do more high intensity in the off season than, you know, say a professional triathlete would. But the more time you have, the more time you want to spend doing low intensity conditioning. For those who are limited on time, which is most people, they're going to be doing more frequent high intensity than, you know, say a triathlete would in the off season. So how do you do that? How do you do high intensity conditioning? Well, you want to use intervals more often than not. Time trials are okay, but intervals are superior for a couple of reasons. One, you get to spend more time at competition relevant paces, which is really good. And you get to spend more time at those paces at lower RPEs, which is really, really good. So whenever you expose yourself to that pace, you are not only having a memory of how to perform the pace, but you also have a memory of what your RPE was at that pace. And so if you can accumulate time at that pace at a lower RPE, then that is a really good thing for lowering your RPE in the future at that pace. Okay. How long should your intervals be? You want to progress from long to short. So long in terms of CrossFit relevant paces are 5-minute working intervals all the way down to 30-second working intervals, which is the classic, you know, EMOM that everyone was doing, but Fraser really popularized. And you want to progress from long to short working intervals over the course of your off season. You want to use aerobic work rest ratios. So this is anything that's 1-to-1 or more. You can go as high as 3-to-1. And you can certainly go higher than that, but at that point it kind of ceases to be intervals, and you're basically doing a time trial at that point anyway. So really like 1-to-1 work rest, 2-to-1 work rest. Those are ones that I use frequently. Progress from cyclical to mixed over the course of your off season. When you do cyclical work, one, it is really objective, the feedback on your pacing. And it also is, you know, especially if you had a long competitive season that culminated in the quarterfinals, you're giving your connective tissue a break from all of that dynamic eccentric type of work. So which just tends to dynamic eccentric. What I mean by that is you're utilizing the stretch shortening cycle. So when you go down into a wall ball and snap out of it, when you go into a chest to bar and go back up in a butterfly chest to bar, you are storing elastic energy in tendons and then it is being released. And when you do that really, really repetitively, the way that you do in CrossFit, that produces wear and tear on connective tissue over time. So that's why you see a lot of athletes prioritizing cyclical work, doing more strict gymnastics, less dynamic gymnastics, doing more tempo in their strength work, things like that. So all of those are really good best practices for the off season. Okay, and then you want to test and retest. So you can use a 10-minute assault bike. It doesn't really matter which test you use. Just pick one and be consistent with it. You could even repeat one of the quarterfinals workouts or repeat quarterfinal workout two, as horrifying as that sounds. You could do that. You could use that as your metric for whether or not this is working. And you want to retest at least once every macro cycle. And I'll get into what I mean by macrocycle, mesocycle, microcycle at the very end, and talk about season structure and how that all works. Frequency is going to be as high as you can recover from. So ways to know you're recovering: as long as your performance in the sessions is still improving. This is another reason that I like cyclical work, unless you want to do the same movements in a Metcon week after week after week, which you could do. But if you're doing cyclical work, then it's really objective whether your performance in each session week to week is improving. So that's another reason to really like cyclical work early on in the off season. If your desire to train is still present, that's a good sign that you're not beyond non-functional overreaching. You are in the functional overreaching stage. If you still have some desire to train, it's a good indicator that's the case. And if your sleep quality is still stable, then those are all good signs that you're recovering and you can keep going with that training frequency. As far as how frequent you should do high intensity conditioning, excuse me, it could be every other day, it could be daily, anything above that, I think you want to shift more time towards low intensity conditioning. If you have additional time, if you have time to do 2, 3, 4 high intensity conditioning sessions a day, that to me is an indicator that you want to shift more of that time into low intensity conditioning, at least for the off season. I really prefer low intensity conditioning in the off season for CrossFitters because you do so much high intensity in the season, and you have to do. You have to, because the competition is these repeated bouts of high intensity. And so that's a reason to prioritize low intensity conditioning in the off season. If you have more time, if you have time to do more than one high intensity piece per day, just do more zone two. And you can incorporate, there's no shortage of ways that you can do low intensity conditioning in CrossFit. Carries are great, isometrics are great, ways to break up your cyclical work if you want to do it that way. But just the classic endurance modalities are great too. As long as you're doing, you know, hiking, biking, Stairmaster, rowing, things like that. Swimming is not really going to transfer very much at all to your performance in CrossFit. Yeah, unless you're a really, really high level athlete and you need to incorporate that type of training because you're preparing for a competition that's going to have that. But those modalities, Stairmaster, cycling, hiking, those are modalities that, rowing, those are modalities that are going to transfer really well to CrossFit. Okay, so that is what you should prioritize based on your quarterfinals results, how to get strong, and how to get conditioned in the off season. So you pretty much got all your bases covered there. I just wanted to touch on big picture, what the season structure looks like and why we even have an off season. So in big picture, you want 20 days a year completely off. This is a best practice. A lot of times this comes from, you know, travel, vacations, being sick. And so it doesn't have to be something that is totally, pre-planned, dedicated time. But if it's after a competition, that is a great time to prioritize some time off. Next, competition prep. This is going to be 70 to 100 days. And that includes, you know, the mesocycles where you're intensifying and then your pre-competition period. And then the competition itself is included inside that 70 to 100 days. And then the rest of the year, which is 245 to 275 days, is going to be spent in base training. And base training is what I described above, essentially. And there's tons of variants inside of that fits inside of what I described. Really no limit to the amount that you can individualize for a CrossFit athlete, because the demands of the sport are so many and the individuals are so different. So, but 245 to 275 days you're going to spend in base training, meaning you're not so much worried about preparing for the specific competition. You're worrying about fixing your weaknesses, addressing your weaknesses. In competition prep, you're not really training your weaknesses. You're increasing readiness for the competitive experience or expression. Base training is when you are focusing on your weaknesses. You're actually training to address them. So that 245 to 275 days divides into macrocycles, mesocycles, and microcycles, which are really fancy words that I'll define here in a second. And those microcycles, which is just a fancy word for a week, are divided into your training split. There are tons of training splits that you can choose from. The point is to progress each training day week after week. So your Mondays look very, very similar week after week. Same with your Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and so forth. And that's where a lot of CrossFitters get into trouble, is they have too much variety in their program. They don't have training split. They don't believe in training splits. And so they don't know if they're progressing. And so the training split and basically repeating the same week of training but improving in very small but measurable ways week over week is a really good best practice for making sure that you're recovering from training, you're positively adapting to it, and you're progressing. Okay, so we have the training split, which is what you do on each day. We have the microcycle, which is the week. And then we have mesocycles, and mesocycle is just 3 to 6 weeks. At the end of 3 to 6 weeks, you're going to take a deload week, during which you do half the volume of the final week of the mesocycle. And you can reduce intensity as well. Whether you reduce intensity or not depends on the individual. And then you just repeat that. And a macrocycle is three of those mesocycles. So three of those periods of 3 to 6 weeks, including the deload. That's a macrocycle. And after a macrocycle, you're going to retest and reevaluate. So if you were able to address the weakness in a macrocycle, then that's great. You can reevaluate and change your training priorities. But you definitely want to stick to a training priority or a set of training priorities for a macrocycle, then retest and reevaluate. Okay, guys, thanks for being here. If you're listening, please rate the podcast, share it with a friend who needs to hear this. If you are watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe, and I will see you guys in the next episode.